I know, they are well trained. They stomp, stomp, clap on cue. Very good. Good morning. My name is Linda, and I am the pastor of Family Ministries here at North Shore Alliance Church. And it's a real joy and a pleasure to be worshiping with you this morning. I feel in this place the Spirit of God, and I feel in this place the joy of the Lord. And I'm excited to be here to share with you the words that I believe God has given me. This is just a note for Alec. I'm going to diverge off my plan, and so just stay on slide one, and it will all be fine, and you'll figure it out as it goes. I want to start by talking about Christmas, because we've just come out of this Christmas season, and what for the kids specifically, and maybe for me too, is our favorite, or one of our favorite parts of Christmas. Can anyone guess? The gifts under the tree. Yes, good. Excellent. You're with me. The gifts under the tree are one of our favorite parts of Christmas. And this morning we're talking about how God is a good gift giver. And so I was thinking as we were worshiping just about how much joy comes from opening a present under the tree. Some of us maybe have sent out a list to all of our family and said, "This is what I want for Christmas." My dad did that, and that was super helpful. Thank you, Dad. I'm not, you know, throwing you under the bus here. I had no idea what to get him, and so he sent out his list for Christmas. And what he asked for was a really abnormal shape. And so I wrapped this gift and left it at their house 2 weeks before Christmas and thought, there is no way that he does not know what is in that package. And yet on Christmas morning, he still opened it with joy and enthusiasm as if it was a surprise. Way to go, Dad. You know, it's interesting how gifts are something that bring us joy, even when we know what we're getting. I, on the other hand, had no idea what I wanted for Christmas. My friend Crystal a couple weeks ago asked, after watching the WestJet Christmas video, anyone seen the WestJet Christmas video? What would you have asked for, Linda? And I said, socks and underwear. Perchance, we're under the tree. Somebody noticed that I had holes in my socks. And so I did indeed get the socks that I needed. But under the tree were many other gifts and many other blessings, things that I had forgotten that along the way I had said I would really like. A gift that I had seen when we were on holidays in August that my parents fought to have shipped down from our holiday location to get to me. I felt so blessed, and it was such a joy to receive on Christmas morning. And I think this is a gift that our kids give us because they show us a window of what it looks like to receive with joy. If you've seen a child open a present, you know that there is joy in the house. And God gives us the gift of seeing what it looks like to receive well. This morning, that's what our message is going to be on. Our message is going to be one of opening our hands and giving to God the things that we need to trade in for the gifts that He has for us this year. And before I jump in, I just have a quick announcement for the families and the kids. There are coloring sheets and crayons at the back. And at the beginning of the service, there weren't crayons, but if you need crayons, Janine's at the back, and she would love to get you some of that because that might help this message go a little quicker if you have young ears. So we're going to turn to Isaiah 61, which is the passage that I've chosen for this morning. This is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. And it is one that speaks to God's gifts, God's goodness to us. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair." Now, I'm sure that you have heard this passage before. It's not a new one for most of us. It's one that's familiar. It's one that draws us to think, yes, this is what God wants to bring to earth. This is the message of the kingdom of heaven. This is the message of the kingdom. I've heard this passage before, and I've read this passage before, and I've read it many times in my life, and always thought, I want to bring that. That's what I want my life to be known for. I want to be one who binds up the brokenhearted. I want to be one who proclaims the good news. I want to be one who heals and releases freedom and oppression from oppression, who offers up God's heart to the people of this world. And I think this is good. I don't think it's bad to desire that calling on our lives. I don't think it's bad to think about our mission as reflecting God's mission. I could have spoken to you all morning for half an hour about God's mission and how we need to walk in it. But as I was preparing this message for this morning, God said, no, wait, step back, read it again. And so I did. And what God was speaking to me about this week as I prepared this message was not about my mission and calling, but about my ability to receive the ministry and blessing of the Lord. I think before I step into my mission and calling, I need to know who God is and who I am, and I need to receive from him the good gifts that he has for me. We need to receive from him the good gifts that he has for us. So I'd like to start there this morning. We're going to take a look first at the text of Isaiah. Isaiah is a book written by the prophet Isaiah. That sounds very simple. And it's written to the people of Israel who were living in exile. The people of Israel were not out on mission. They were not people who were had it all together. They were not people who were faithfully following God with everything that they had. They were people who were living in exile as a result of the judgment for the things that they had done. They were people in desperate need of a Savior. They were people who knew that they needed reminding of the promised Messiah's coming. They needed reminding that redemption and deliverance was on its way. And this word, like many prophetic words throughout the Bible, likely had two fulfillments. Likely, the Israelites saw some form of salvation from their exile and would have said, yes, see, the Savior has come. But more than that, there was still the final fulfillment, which would come when Jesus, 700 years after this was written, came and released real freedom and real joy and real healing into the nations. When Jesus came and released these things, we saw that the kingdom of heaven came to the kingdom of earth. Now, how do we know that this was what Jesus was all about? You might be thinking, Linda, but how do you know that this is what Jesus wanted us to see when we read this text? Well, this passage refers directly to a passage Jesus quotes in Luke chapter 4. It says that Jesus, who had just been baptized and started his ministry, was returning from his temptation in the desert and teaching in the synagogues, and people were praising him because he was a great teacher. He was far better than I am. On this Sabbath, Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, a place where he grew up, and he is handed the scroll from the book of Isaiah. Now, I put my picture from Israel on the screen because I thought this is kind of what it would look like. These weren't little scrolls. These were scrolls that held big chunks of the Bible. And so Jesus rolled it open, and he found the passage he was looking for, Isaiah 61. And he spoke, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. He has sent me to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." After reading, Jesus rolled up the scroll and he took a seat. The seat was where the teacher would normally sit, and he was supposed to preach this brilliant sermon, and all he said was, "Today, these scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing." Probably Jesus' shortest message in all of the Bible. "Today, these scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing." There's a lot that Jesus is saying when he says this. And at first, the crowd was amazed. They thought, wow, that's really cool. But as Jesus went on and told them about, you know, how he was it, he was the one they had been waiting for, they got angry and they were like, "No, you're not. You're Joseph's son. You're a carpenter. You are not it." And they actually rejected Jesus. And he left the town of Nazareth and moved on to the next town, who would receive the good gifts of the ministry that he had for them. There are a few interesting things to note from this passage, a few things that I learned as I was reading this week. The first thing is a language thing. In English, we see the word anointed one, and we don't really think of much except anointed one. But for the people of Israel, they would read anointed one and know that that was the word Messiah that is used all throughout the Old Testament. The word Messiah literally translates to the anointed one. So when Jesus is saying the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, I am the anointed one, he is saying, I am the Messiah you have been waiting for. Just to help your grammar out, the word anointed one is also the word Christ. In the Greek, that word Christ means literally the anointed one. And so it's interesting that Jesus is naming himself as the one who has been promised. Another significant detail from this passage is Jesus announcing that today the new day starts. Today the new era. We've been living in this era for so many years that we forget that the era of grace had a start. And today was the day that Jesus announced that the kingdom of heaven was coming to the kingdom of earth. Jesus was the good news. Jesus embodied the good news and he brought the good news. And he was the one who was bringing heaven down to earth. Finally, I think we can read this passage and see, like, of course, because we have the rest of the scriptures to remind us that Jesus did, in fact, fulfill all of the things that he promised at the start of his ministry here. Jesus did set people free. Jesus did release the oppressed. Jesus did heal the blind. Jesus did proclaim the good news. All through the scriptures, we see the truth of this passage, and it's easy for us to go, oh, yeah, that's who God is. This morning, we want to focus our eyes on who God is, on who Jesus is, and what good gifts he has for us. So this might beg the question, who are God's gifts and blessings for? Well, if we look at the text, we can see that the gifts are for the poor and the blind and the oppressed. And I think this is often where I have had trouble with this passage. I have seen the poor, the blind, and the oppressed as someone outside of me. I have grown up on the North Shore. There is nothing in my upbringing that could be described as poor. And yet, I know that there is poverty inside of me. Not financial or economic poverty, but a different kind of poverty. And so as I was reading this week, I was learning what a holistic view to these terms might be. A holistic approach would say that poverty and the poor could describe anyone who was suffering, anyone who recognized their need for God, anyone who had an area of lack in their lives. Well, isn't that all of us? Aren't we all the poor? The blind can refer to those who are physically blind, yes, and Jesus would heal the physically blind, but he also offered healing to those who lacked understanding, to those who were spiritually blind, to those who couldn't see. Blindness is not just a state of physical inability to see. Freedom and release for the prisoners and oppressed describe those who are actually prisoners and those who are actually oppressed. And there are many of those in the world, and God offers hope and joy and love for them. But God offers hope and joy and love and freedom and release for us too. Release and freedom from the enemy's lies and schemes, from our debt of sin, from the things that hold us captive. One of my professors out at Regent College describes poverty as the human universal. He says that poverty describes well the condition of our broken relationship with the one true source of life and sufficiency. That is God. And it also describes our consequent powerlessness to do anything about it. So who are the poor and the blind and the oppressed? Somebody asked me this question just over a month ago, and I started to think, I think that's me. It's been one of those years for me where I have learned to see that I am dependent on God. And I could tell you about the highs and lows of this year, but this morning I know this message is not about me. Sharing the rough things that have happened to me this year, the tough season, the season marked by loss and grief and sadness and pain, would not bring life in this place. But sharing that God is victorious in the midst of this season that I find myself in is what I want you to hear this morning. This was not the year that I wanted, but perhaps it was the year that I needed to push me to see who I really am.
to push me to see that I am broken, to push me to see that I am poor, to push me to see that I am blind and oppressed and in desperate need of God, our Savior. I need God's loving ministry. I need His blessings. I need all the things that He offers right here, right now. And throughout this season that I found myself in, I found myself turning to Isaiah. And I found hope in what Jesus, the gifts that Jesus has to offer. This year I've learned that as I come to Jesus broken and poor, He will pour out His blessings on me. As I come to Him with a heavy heart, He will trade my pain for good gifts of comfort and joy. As I come to Him with blindness and with lack of understanding, He will show me what He sees in every situation. As I turn to Him with my despair, He will offer up a heart of thanksgiving and praise. My job is to receive. So often I've looked at this passage and thought, my job is to give it away. My job is to take the world by storm. But I've taken something that isn't mine. I've taken something that belongs to Jesus. He is the gift giver. He is the one who goes. And graciously, He uses us to be instruments of His ministry in this dark world. God wants us to receive from Him this morning. He wants us to receive love and joy and peace and hope. He wants us to receive in places that we have deep need and in places that we have deep lack. He wants us to receive even if we don't know that we need more of Him. He wants us to see Him at work in our hearts and our lives. And so this morning, I want us to think about this divine exchange. As we continue to worship, as we continue to focus our eyes on Jesus and understand who He is, I want us to think about trading in our pain and our sorrow, trading in our sickness, trading in our lack, trading in our poverty, trading in our broken hearts, and receiving from God all He has to offer us. God wants us to run to Him, no matter what season our soul finds itself in. And so I'm going to end this morning by reading Isaiah 61 to us again, reading it over us. And I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to hold out your hands, and I want you to think about receiving and inviting God to work the work of ministry that He has for you this morning. I think God has something special for each of us. And some of us know what our needs are. Some of us can list them and say, God, this is what I need from You this morning. And for some, it'll just be a word of blessing that will come as an unexpected gift under the tree. And so let's read this together. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and the release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of our God, and you will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land. Everlasting joy will be yours. For the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing, and in my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples, and all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for the soil makes the sprout come up, and the garden causes seeds to grow. So the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before the nations. Father God, as we read these words, we know that you are a giver of good gifts. God, this morning we receive with open hands all of the things that you have for us. And God, in receiving, you are preparing us to be and do and look more like you. God, this morning we want our hearts to be filled with worship. Worship for a God who gives good gifts. Worship for a God who offers up everything that we might need. One who fills us with everything that we can see in this world. God, you are a God of abundance. You are a God who takes our lack and fills it with your fullness. God, we praise you and worship you this morning because you are good. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So we're going to close with some worship together.